Okay, we will call the December 2nd meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission to order. We have a roll call vote, please.
Steele?
Here.
Quinn?
Here.
Couser?
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Kate?
Here.
Okay, we need to approve the agenda for this evening. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda will stand approved. How about item number 4, approval of the minutes? Any changes or additions to the minutes of November 4?
That's my one. That's, yes, I have a change.
Okay.
That doesn't get service. It should read Mr. Rick Sanders presented service recognition awards to Ms. Nancy Couser and Ms. Susan Donaldson. Nancy Miller was not the one to receive the award.
That's right. That's right.
Big patch.
That's right.
Do we have a motion to approve the amendments with that noted amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed? Same sign. Great. Our next item is a time for public comment. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments on issues that are not on the agenda for this evening. Would anyone like to offer any comments or input, please? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. Our first item of business is election of officers for the calendar year 2016.
I make a motion that we keep the same officers. They did a dandy job.
Second.
All right. That is very good. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. All right. Election of the officers is taken care of. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing for the Center Grove Orchard conditional use permit, major modification. Jerry, do we need to open the public hearing now, or do you want to present the staff report and then we'll open the hearing?
We can present the staff report if that's okay.
We'll turn it over to staff to give us a report then.
Okay, it's a conditional use permit application, major modification. Applicant Steve Black, Center Grove Orchard, address 32835 610th Avenue. This particular conditional use permit application includes an existing one-third scale train and train tracks. There's about 4,000 lineal feet of tracks. There's also plans to include a grain elevator, train station, stockyards, freight room, general store, water tower, and natural prairie within the confines of the railroad station area. And we've got some photos, site photos, and aerials to show you that. It also includes the existing food store and food service areas. These are existing. Some of these were in effect in 2008 from the current conditional use permit. However, they were not specifically addressed in the staff report and the findings from the Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment. We felt that it was important that they be included. There's a total of 9 buildings, I think 3 primary buildings that they use for food service, and then some smaller buildings, which we've got some photos of those. An expanded parking area, which is in the northern portion of the site, near the cemetery. A dog show. This year they had a dog show, which was centrally located southwest of the existing buildings, primarily showcasing dogs that did various tricks. Steve will talk about that. Also, a proposed food service building. This would be proposed for approximately 300 or more people. And then another additional building for customers to eat. This second building would not be used for food prep or food sales, It would be also a gathering place once customers, particularly the school-age kids, when they come off the bus, they would have a place to go and congregate before they move through the operation. That building would also include restrooms. It is important to note that this came to the planning and development staff through a complaint that our office received with regard to the train traffic and circulation concerns, speaker noise, and we found out through our involvement that the speaker noise was actually from a PA system that was set up for that dog show that was through the month of October. And then also garbage from the operation ending up within the cemetery. So this has everything to do with what is permitted in a farm retail novelty use. And I think it's important to just read this from the Story County Development Regulations because these are things that you can do with this particular item. It should be items that relate to this specific aspect. It gets to what a farm retail novelty use is, which it says a farm, which is in addition to a crop and or livestock production, offers services or products, whether seasonal or not, for sale to the public on-site, which are uniquely tied to the heritage or current practice of agriculture in Iowa, including but not limited to tours, demonstrations, petting zoos, and the like, and retail sales of fruits, vegetables, pumpkins, and melons, berries, trees, or other agricultural crops. This definition does not shall not be applicable to those structures or uses determined to be agriculturally exempt from county zoning authority according to Chapter 335 of the Code of Iowa. So the next seven slides are from Steve, from the applicant, which he made a part of the conditional use submittal. This first one is a conceptual artist rendering. It does show you the clustering of the buildings, the farmstead residence is to the east of the site. As I mentioned, most of the buildings are clustered centrally a decent distance from 610th Avenue and Highway 210. But you have the main building where the food shop is, the restaurant, the farm animals and related livestock pens are in the southeast portion. Corn pool, similar to like a sandbox, primarily for younger kids, would be in this location. They have various activities like hay mazes and various tracks for pedal carts of consisting of little tractors. There's some slides to the western portion. The dog show is actually in this location. And then to the north of the building area is the main parking location. And then they have spillover on busy days, parking north of that. To the west of the pond is where the train tracks are. And then, of course, the corn maze to the west of that. You can kind of see the orchard locations as well. Aerial photo shows you, again, this is west of the pond. This is the train track layout. And then they're showing proposed buildings. Some of these buildings are the plan is to construct those to use that for storage of the train. But it's also a kind of a gathering place. Once customers are brought to this location, they'll have a place to actually enter the site safely. And then, they're showing proposed prairie in the eastern portion, and then a location for crops and livestock. To the west is the corn maze area. And there was also some discussion about having a place for the antique tractors. This shows customer access, circulation, and parking layout. Again, this is north of the main building area. You've got the main parking location. North of that is for overflow. And they've developed a system that helps them get vehicles off of 610 quicker. which is generally they try to use this second north access to either with their staff to try to direct traffic in the main parking area or this parking lot number 5. Again, on real busy days, they use this north parking lot number 7, which is north of the cemetery. This shows the bus route. Again, primarily they're using the second access. Sorry about that. The second access to enter the site. They go to the far west end and then drop off to the main, the students to the main entrance area where they're able to walk in. Delivery route, same thing. They're using that far north access. They're able to drop off the goods and services that they're acquiring by using that same route. Photo of the train, again, it's the third scale. And my understanding is there's like 4,000 linear feet of track. This represents possible locations for the two new buildings that were identified for the congregating of the people, and then again another food service building. Those possible locations would be west of the existing buildings. Aerial just shows you the property that is owned by Steve. There's about 13 parcels there. Most of the operation is in the southeastern portion of that. This is about 3 miles the way a crow would fly from the city of Cambridge. We're into the site photos. This is the intersection of Highway 210 and 610th Avenue. We're going to be panning to the west, south, and east, and then north. Looking at the buildings and the operation. Looking to the north, 610th Avenue is a gravel road. There's a residence to the east side there, just north of the intersection. Looking to the east, Highway 210 is paved. Looking to the south, there's a residence on the south side of that intersection. We're at the site now, main entrance in. There were quite a few signs to help direct customers, bus drivers, truck drivers into, you know, which access they should take to enter the operation. Main entrance into the facility. Currently, they have different hours starting in November, which I believe these are their current hours, 10 to 5, Monday through Friday. 8 to 5 Saturday, and then 8 to 4 on Sunday. Main parking lot area, we're going to be panning north and then to the east. Quite a few handicapped parking spaces. I believe there's like 34. And a few of those are inaccessible. Inside now, this is the food shop store. The food service area. You see some of the seating. This is outside. Customers go through that main building and then out to this location. There's the corn pool building. It's kind of like a sandbox, but it's filled with corn. Pumpkins that they sell. Livestock, various animal pens. It's a pedal cart, tractor cart track. This is another separate food service building. You can see to the left of the screen is where people would actually eat outdoors. Activity area. There are several activity areas throughout. You can see in the background the slides. There's a few of these buildings. They sell all kinds of things, apples, walking tacos, different things. Steve will touch on those things. My understanding is they use this building for like races, pig races, different animals. It's a separate venue area. You can see that there's some seating areas in the foreground of that photo. Another building for foods, service, and sales. location for carts for customers to use to pick various items, pumpkins and apples. We're looking at the pond. Again, this is in the north portion of the site. Train is to the west of that. Train track. We're at the cemetery now. Again, part of the complaint was the garbage in the cemetery. I was there a couple different times. I did see a few items along the fence line. There's a fence line that goes around the perimeter of the cemetery. I did not see anything in it. That doesn't mean that there isn't garbage in it. I can just tell you that when I was there, I didn't see anything inside of it. There were a few items on the perimeter. This is on the outside, close to the orchard. It'd be the south side of the cemetery, north side of the orchard. We're looking at the right-of-way area and the roads. Looking to the north, this is kind of where they're using the overflow parking area. Panning to the south, this is 610th. Condition-wise, that this was the second time I was out there. There were a few potholes. You know, overall, the road was in pretty decent condition. I think they have been putting down a couple of treatments to take care of dust control. This is like the creek area, and then close to the road, it was a little more visible where you could see a few potholes. This is where I think they have a couple of elk, which is in the southeast portion of their site there. We're into the analysis part. This is from the staff recommendation. These are the things that we look at, staff and the zoning commission. First thing deals with compatibility. The proposed buildings are used shall be constructed, arranged, and operated so as to be compatible with the character of the zoning district and immediate vicinity and not to interfere with the development and use of adjacent property in accordance with the applicable district regulations. The proposed development shall not be unsightly, obnoxious, nor offensive in appearance to abutting or nearby properties. The orchard is in a rural area of the county. As you saw from the aerials, it's surrounded by ag ground, crop ground, creeks, some drainage areas, railroad right-of-way further to the north, and there are a few scattered residential dwellings in the area to the east and to the south. The buildings are a considerable distance from 210 and 610th Avenue. According to the map submitted by the applicant, the location of the future proposed buildings would generally be west of the existing buildings. The new train and tracks are located on the north portion of the site, north of where the old Chicago and Milwaukee-St. Paul Railroad was located, which is the connection. That's one of the reasons why they brought the train there, because of the connection with the previous railroad that was in that location that ran directly through the property. Transition, the development shall provide for a suitable transition and, if necessary, buffer between the proposed building or use and surrounding properties. The existing buildings relate to the agricultural character of the surrounding land. Existing creeks and green spaces on the property do provide some buffering of adjacent uses. Traffic, the development shall provide for adequate ingress egress with particular attention to vehicular and pedestrian safety and convenience, traffic flow control, and emergency access. From the 2008 conditional use, the information that was submitted there were about 400 customers on a busy Saturday, up to about 1,000 on a Saturday during peak times. During the week, anywhere from 100 to upwards to 600 school kids. Talked about hours of operation already. Traffic, for the most part, generally is eastward down 210, then north on 610th Avenue. Distance from the interchange to their access is about 1,200 lineal feet. Traffic does pass the two residences that I showed you. In response to concerns that the applicant received, again, there was some concerns about the traffic going into the site, causing some concerns to area neighbors not being able to get out of their drives to carry on their own business. What I learned was they have a system involving their staff where they're able to get more cars off the road, and they're using that second and third access to do that. Parking and loading, the development shall provide all off-street parking and loading areas as required by this ordinance and adequate service entrances and areas. Appropriate screening shall be provided around parking and service areas to minimize visual impacts, glare from headlights, noise, fumes, or other detrimental impacts. The current development regulations do not have specific standards for farms, retail, novelty. However, they do have that area, that main area on the north side of their buildings. It's about 7 acres, and then for the overflow, that's about a 17-acre area. There's 32 handicap parking spaces. 4 of those are van accessible. The orchards are providing some buffering. Again, they're primarily north of the buildings, though. They do have a landscape feature southeast of the main parking area, and they do have their main parking area pretty well defined with a split rail fence. Signs and lighting, there were some concerns with the initial submittal in 2008. My understanding is those items have been addressed. With regard to environmental protection, the development shall be planned and operated in such a manner that will safeguard environmental and visual resources. The development shall not generate excessive noise, vibration, dust, smoke, fumes, odor, glare, groundwater pollution, or other undesirable, hazardous, or nuisance conditions, including weeds. Again, the buildings and activities are adequate distances from creeks and drainage areas. There are some natural vegetated areas to the south of the site, again, where the elk are located. West of the buildings, the lake does provide a barrier or buffer as well, and then the area to the north of the lake, north of where the train is. The apple orchards and the fruit orchards are providing some visual appeal and also help with soil erosion control. Train tracks were installed west of the ponds. There was some fill dirt that was brought in. We'll get to the conditions, but that's one of the things that we've asked the applicant to provide. They have an engineer drawing that should be submitted for our review, and we want to make sure that they're addressing stormwater and some of the environmental provisions in the county standards. Applicants do hire somebody to take care of dust control. There are garbage containers located throughout the site. They kind of look like wells. The containers are inside of these wooden structures. They're located at where the food service locations are. I saw them in the parking lots. And they put all their garbage in a 40-gallon dumpster, and they have a hauler, commercial hauler, that hauls it away. I was there a couple different times. I did see a few pieces of garbage. Had discussions with the applicant about this. They contacted the president of the cemetery, and they have an agreement that the applicant staff will walk in addition to their site, they're going to walk the cemetery each Monday while they're in operation. We're talking about a 4-month span to pick up any garbage that there might be. Noise from speakers from the dog show was a concern. They also have a train which has a whistle. When I was there, they demonstrated the whistle. It's kind of hard to explain other than it's somewhat, when you're standing there, you can certainly hear it. I don't know how well you could hear it if you're several hundred feet away. But I'm also told that it's the WISC was necessary because they have a state permit to operate this train. And anytime it leaves, before it leaves, they have to sound that whistle. So it has, if they're going to operate it, it's supposed to have that mechanism to let people know that it's moving. With regard to the septic systems, since 1975, they've had quite a few septic permits from the Environmental Health Division for the dwelling and the various buildings. From 2009 to 2014, the business generated wastewater was directed to two large holding tanks. It was pumped and land applied on the applicant's property by a separate hauler. This year, the business generated wastewater was pumped and hauled to Huxley's Municipal Treatment Plant, with the exception of the last couple of weeks, which it was land applied. The current status of their operation, though, is they have to get a permit from the DNR because of the size of the system that they need. It's got to be an engineered system, and it's supposed to be installed by spring of 2016. If the current holding tanks fill up, if they operate prior to it being completed, the waste will be taken to the municipal treatment plant again. It cannot be land applied. If the commission concludes that all the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. The popularity of the operation has grown by the general public since the applicant obtained approval in 2008, and this success will likely continue. Traffic and people to this area will likely increase. The train will likely further add to the appeal and interest in going to that to the operation. The existing and proposed buildings used for food service or eating compared to other ag buildings on site and adjacent properties. The applicants have responded to the growth of the operation by adding additional on-site parking, which we talked about. Signage is posted to help direct customers and those doing deliveries and dropping off school kids. The second thing is impair an adequate supply of light or air. The use is surrounded by agricultural fields, creeks, drainage areas. And from a review of an aerial, the buildings on-site appear to meet the setback requirements. There's a balance of green space, trees, vegetated areas surrounding the clustered agricultural-related buildings. Third thing, unduly increase congestion in the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. The trend of the operation has been heavier traffic levels on weekends compared to the weekday and greater traffic levels during the peak fall periods on weekends. The train and related proposed track improvements may also increase interest in the operation. The applicant indicated they obtained food service license from the state for the kitchens. The buildings and operation area and train track are not located within the floodplain. The last item, diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. We sent all this information out to all the departments with regard to the valuation. We didn't receive any comments back from the assessor's office. And then after the staff recs went out, we did receive an email from Deanna Black. She's on staff, department supervisor. I did email you that email. I can go through the highlights if you'd like.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Maybe we'll ask you to do that during the public hearing.
Okay. And then as far as the staff recommendation, these conditions seek to protect the actual interests of the property owners. We're hoping that they increase communication and awareness with the county staff about their operation and focus on improving awareness of their operation on adjacent properties. We've got eight conditions that we're hoping that the Planning and Zoning Commission members support. The first condition is the applicant shall have at minimum two dust control applications applied on 610th Avenue during peak operating periods. Additional control applications may be requested to the Story County Engineering Department upon request. Two, the applicant shall submit the engineering drawing of the train track layout for our review. Again, we want to make sure that they're meeting the environmental health requirements. We don't think that the dog show, as it was described to us, is something that fits the retail novelty farm aspect. So we don't think that it should be a part of this conditional use permit. I can tell you that the applicants do not agree with that. Four, in accordance with the agreement between the applicant and the cemetery president, they've worked out an agreement to have the staff at the operation walk the cemetery every Monday to check for garbage. Five, the use of speakers we think should be discouraged. If they are used for future activities and events, the speakers shall be directed away from residences in the area. And then the applicant shall regularly check the sound volume levels of all operational activities from near adjacent road right-of-ways to the property with the goal of protecting the interest of the adjacent property owners. Planning and development staff shall annually inspect the operating site, the cemetery, adjacent roads during peak operating periods for the next 2 years to check on compliance with the conditions and other county requirements. Any proposed changes beyond what was presented in this conditional use permit will require a submittal of a modification. And again, we're hoping that the Planning and Zoning Commission support the staff's recommendation and approve this conditional use permit with these conditions and direct staff to get this on the agenda for the December 16th Board of Adjustment meeting. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Questions for the staff?
So what you're saying is if you hadn't gotten the complaint, this wouldn't even be here.
What prompted our involvement was the complaint. So it had a lot to do with...
But again, without the complaint, it would not be here.
All I can say is that's what prompted us to get involved with it. We could have gotten involved with it in other ways. Part of it is I just started. I've been here 2 months. That was the main, a way that we got involved. We contacted, after meeting with the complainant, we met with Steve and some of his staff and started to review it, and that's when we decided that we needed to get the operation up to speed because they've done some things beyond the original conditional use permit application, which was submitted in 2008. I'll just briefly read it. It said that it was supposed to include pumpkins, gourds, apples for retail and wholesale sales. In addition, on the property for which the conditional use permit is being sought, there are activities related to agricultural nature of the property, including corn maize, hay castle, farm animals, hay rides, educational tours, corporate picnics and gatherings, birthday parties, and additional activities. That's what the 08 conditional use permit includes.
Do you mind if I ask Ryan, based upon his experience, that same question?
Yeah, I believe he answered it pretty well. The answer is no. Not without the complaint would we have even known about what was going on. It's through the complaint that it was brought to our attention that there were things going on the property that were, again, like he said, beyond what was approved in their original conditional use permit in 2008.
Did the original conditional use permit, you read that list of things that were included in it, did it include the food service, the existing food service buildings, and other?
Not in the staff report and not in the findings. They were not specifically addressed. And after looking into it more closely, we thought that it's something that should be included. There's a total of 9 different buildings that they're using for food service. Three are primary buildings where they're actually doing food prep, food sales. And then they have a smaller shed type buildings that they sell like specific items out of. But it's, you know, after looking at it, it just seemed appropriate to get the operation caught up.
Get a current.
And get a current, correct.
The 08 permit did not call for a regular inspection, annual or otherwise.
No.
And are there current inadequate zoning permits for all the structures on site?
There
and
are
signs on site, to our knowledge.
Right. There are some issues with lighting and signage, but my understanding those things have been addressed. And they're not part of this application.
So the farm or the orchard has been coming in throughout to get the appropriate zoning permits whenever a new structure was added?
That's my understanding.
Okay. In some of the images we saw, like the small concession stands and then the entry gates, the grain bin style entry gates, would those fall under portable structures that don't require a permit or under our square footage limit?
Yeah, anything over 100 square foot typically
okay.
would require a permit.
So pretty close, if not.
That would be, yeah.
Or less, yeah. Okay.
I have a question regarding the train. It was indicated that they had a state permit to operate the train, which meant that they had to use the whistle. Does that state permit, is there any inspection associated with the state permit? Does the state permit address safety with regard to the train?
I believe there is an inspection required with that. I would defer to Steve when he gets an opportunity to talk to you about that.
Did you say that the dog track does not fall in line? Was it the dog track that does not fall in line with the previous conditional use?
It was a dog show.
Dog show?
Yeah, it was a dog show. It was a couple that they hired that had several dogs, and they set up a location
through the month
of October.
But why doesn't it fall in line with the other?
Because primarily it was like a Frisbee show. I'm sure it was very enjoyable. Had it been something that was more, you know, training dogs that help with livestock herding or something like that, or shepherding, that seems more appropriate to the definition for retail novelty farm. As it was explained to me, it was more of a, you know, dogs doing different tricks and catching frisbees, doing agility type things, which, you know, we think that that's not really, that there's a connection to this. Maybe more
entertainment oriented than agricultural or informative.
What if they were catching ears of corn rather than frisbees?
And doing well with them.
Yeah, is there an agricultural?
Same thing you're doing with frisbees, bringing them back.
I wouldn't think that there would be a connection, but
personally, I think it's a stretch. You know, based upon all of the other activities that they've got going on there for the kids and the enjoyment. You know, and so far I haven't heard of anything that's dangerous to anybody. Maybe the train might run over somebody's foot. I kind of doubt it. Because the people that are operating the train are going to mess it in.
Let's finish with our questions to the staff, get public input, and then we'll have discussion.
Okay.
Any other questions?
What's the area? What's the zoning of the current zoning of the area?
It's A1 agriculture.
And can you show me on the map like where the cemetery is? And
yeah.
I was looking for that and I couldn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like on an overview map.
It's on the west side of
We got one more.
It's on the west side of the road. Can you go east back to the lake?
I'm not seeing where that is in relation to where all the other development is.
Okay, there maybe. Whoops, go back.
Here's this. The cemetery's right here.
Right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's right next to the road.
Right. That's on the west side of the road.
Okay, I got one more question for staff. When you said that there were some pieces of garbage, are we talking 2 or 20?
Just a few pieces. Plastic.
Okay.
Questions? The way this will work is we'll ask the applicant to speak. The commission will have an opportunity to ask questions of the applicant. Then we'll open the public hearing. The public will have an opportunity to speak to the commission. If the applicant would like to speak, please step up to the podium and give us your name and your address, please.
My name is Steve Black. My address is 32835 610th Avenue, Cambridge. Do you want direct questions, or do you want me to give you an overview of anything?
You're welcome to present anything that you thought was not adequately addressed in the staff presentation or anything else you'd like to add. If you don't have anything else to add, then we may have some questions for you.
I think everything was covered fairly well. Nothing really comes to mind. He did a pretty good job. There's a lot of information, so I guess I don't really know what else to touch up on. If you have questions, I'd love to answer the questions you may have for me. I can give you a rundown of kind of how this process went to me, a little description. So in 2008, I wanted to build a couple buildings, and I think I called up to get a building permit, and they told me I had to have a conditional use permit, which I had no idea what that even existed. I didn't know much about it. The whole reason of calling to get that building permit was so I can build a restroom and build food service buildings. We started doing our food service in 2005, selling food out of our store, and it just wasn't a big enough space. So that's the whole reason I got the permit. We started in 1994 with an apple orchard selling apples and pumpkins, and we started with a store. So the first thing we had was a store selling apples, pumpkins, some jams and jellies, cider, just some basic products that we produced or had a family produce for us. So as it grew, we wanted to do more things. So we started with a store. We started with food in 2005, and then 2008 we wanted to have a place to add more buildings and have restrooms and do these things. So the whole reason we got the permit was buildings for food. And every time I went to get a permit for the buildings I built in 2011, 2012, 2013, I was very open about what I'm building my buildings for, too. The pictures you saw on there, they were all under 100-square-foot buildings. They're portable. They're probably about 80 square feet, maybe. But since then, I guess I didn't know I was required to consistently talk about what I was doing at my business with the planning and zoning. That's why there may be a gap of communication, because I didn't know I was required to everything I did to make it known to everybody else. So every building permit I had to get, I was required to get, I got permit for. Every operation I had to have, for instance, the train, had to be inspected by the state of Iowa. I got permit with them. They came out to inspection. They did a safety check. They did a walk around. We spent quite a considerable amount of time. We put a barrier up around the entire train so people can't get out on the train tracks. It's all controlled, and it's all in an environment that's very safe and it's very controlled on our end. That's a very brief thing. The trash, we have shitty garbage pick up our 40-yard container, which is about a very large dump truck worth that rolls off. We haul our trash up to it. We dump it in it. They come pick it up. They pick up on Mondays. When we're really busy, they pick up Mondays and Fridays. That's stored a little bit distance away because of the traffic coming in. You don't want a truck pulling in, hauling stuff out. So it's a further north location on our property. Other than that, I think he pretty much covered everything. Unless you have some direct questions, I'd be more happy to answer anything with you.
Commission questions for the applicant?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I got a couple of curiosity questions. How many people do you employ?
How many people do we employ? Full-time, we have 5 full-time people. I have probably 4 full-time part-time. And then in peak season, 240-ish staff members.
Really? Wow, that's terrific. Hey, when Jerry sent us some information via email, he included a brochure regarding historical train. What's that got to do with it?
The train?
Yeah.
Historical stuff?
Yeah.
Well, the first day when Jerry came out, he asked, how's this train tied to what we're doing? And while we're on the site, right by our train is the Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul Railroad that went through the middle of our property in 1882 to about 1920-ish range. I'm not sure exactly when they pulled it out. So he asked why this train ties to what we're doing, and that's my point, is this train used to run through, the very first train through Story County ran right through the middle of our property. So the tie is mm-hmm. that's how we coordinate between okay. what we're doing. So that I showed history of from two different articles written about the train in the area and just some basic knowledge of how the train and just the railroad and the industry in general was in Story County.
You had this on a big placard for people to read?
Not yet, because unfortunately we started the train in early April, and we had a really wet summer where to know to do this, we peel black dirt, pull clay up, build a railroad bed. To do all this work, you know, this summer it rained a lot. We literally didn't get done with our dirt work until it was the second week in October before we were actually okay. approved by the state to operate. So we still have a considerable amount of dirt work to do, finish up, and tie all the history in. And it's probably going to be a 2 to 3 year project, or maybe even longer, before we actually get everything put together. But some of the first things that are going up is the history. Our corn maze this year was a train in the middle of our corn maze. So if you looked at it from top, it was a train. And part of the game was, or the event of the corn maze was to go through and now get your way out. And in there was 10 spots in the maze where, as you're traveling through, you came to a spot where you don't know which way to go, and you had a two-answer question. If you answer incorrectly about the history of the railroad in our area, you go the wrong way, and it takes you longer to get out. If you answer correctly, you go the right way, and you get out faster. So there's 10 questions that we highlighted from the train in our area and how it tied to our farm.
Interesting.
Can you tell us a little more about the agricultural production that occurs on the property?
Sure.
What type of production, maybe number of acres in that production, volume produced, something like that?
We started in 1986 growing apples. As far as just Center Grove Orchard started with was apples and pumpkins. We also have a commercial farm where we grew corn and beans and livestock. Since then, I only farm about 400, maybe 500 acres of row crops, 100 acres of hay or so, some straw. We grow about 16 acres of apples, which are all sold through our store. And I grow, depending on the year, 20 to 25 acres of pumpkins, which we all sell through our store.
And then in your on-site retail sales, what percentage would you say? That's probably difficult way to put it, but do you have any other products that are produced on site that are sold in your retail space?
We have a production bakery.
You have a bakery on site?
Scratch bakery.
And do you use any agricultural products from your farm to...
All of our apples, our second whole apples are produced into pies, crisp, apple bread, mixed cider donuts, make scratch fudge, caramel apples.
Making me hungry.
Okay, other questions?
Nancy's going.
I understood that there would be a new building for 300 people. Can you describe this building? It's a machine shed type with insulated cement floor.
Well, it's still in the visionary process, but what I see is when people come out and Iowa's weather in the fall, or just Iowa's weather in general, it's sometimes it's really windy, sometimes it's a little rainy, sometimes it's a little chilly, sometimes it's hot. And since we're open from September through October, we get hot days and we get really cold days and we get rain days. So this building is mainly for a place for customers to go inside, eat inside while they're here on the farm, in between the activities, picking apples or pumpkins, and a place to go eat inside. We're also going to use it for in the Christmas season. We do a brunch with Santa. We get people come out to our store because we still have apples and bakery produce to sell. So it'd be a place for indoor seating for the Christmas season as well.
Okay. would not be like a full shed.
It'd be more than likely a very large barn. Wood structure, wood inside beams, very much like an old barn. Probably a concrete floor, probably two levels, maybe three.
So this has not been outlined specifically in this permit?
That was a part of it, that he's proposing to have two new buildings. But, I mean, at this stage it's somewhat conceptual, but we wanted to make sure that if he had additional plans, that they were identified now instead of, you know, at a later time, so that it could be addressed now at this meeting.
What's the question about there? Go ahead.
About the dust control. I would assume that the dust control applies from the minute you leave 210 up until the last strike. But that is not specific in this recommendation. You currently do that once a year, twice a year?
Well, we put dust control on twice. Our dilemma we run into is the county wants you to put on somewhere around the 1st of June, and then by middle of July 22nd, they want those done. Well, unfortunately, we're not opening those time frames, and it doesn't do any good for us. So it's actually pulling teeth to get them to allow me to put it on even one time in September. And this year I called in, I wanted to put on the super late, and they say, well, we can't do it. October 1, we go through, get our roads ready for winter, and we're going to go through and do all the work to get prepped for winter. This year I was lucky enough to get one on, I think it was sometime in August, I don't remember the exact date, and this year we got one on, I think it was September 22nd, and it worked really well. But it didn't rain either, and the water and rain on roads and traffic going over it creates potholes. So the road this year was really good. There's two spots that are really rough, but our dust control worked fairly well. They would not let me put on three applications, so I was stuck with the two, so that's what I have. And I do it from Highway 210 to the very last driveway, our furthest one away.
So is it the county that applies this for you, or?
No, it's a private individual. We get a permit through the county and just have to go through the process.
You have to get it through the county.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you spray water, maybe on the road in between?
No.
When you're really, really busy?
No, we don't have the capacity.
Go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, it's 1,800 feet right now that we're applying dust control on.
Yeah. Could I also ask about the speakers? That the recommendation is also a little bit ambiguous about they're discouraged, but well, maybe you can have them. Sounds like a lot of people. I would think you need speakers. How realistic is it to say that they're discouraged, but you might be able to use them? I mean, that just seems kind of an ambiguous way to say it.
Well, when we go to do any type of event, the speakers we have, and we invited the couple out to do a dog show. They were from, I believe, Kentucky, husband and wife. They had 11 dogs. They came. They actually had a trailer. They lived right there by the dog show. We picked a site that was, where they could have be close to their dogs, and they could have a place that were off to the side of the property where customers weren't going to be all the way around their dwelling for the time. We purposely picked a spot where we could face the speakers away from any neighboring properties. And any of the other times we have speakers, we were always mindset of where the direction is. The dog show, by the time we was alerted, it was too loud. We did turn down the very last weekend. I think it was just a volume issue. We turned down so much to the very last weekend, I had staff that wanted to see the show because they never saw it, and they were at the show and they couldn't even hear it. That's how quiet we had it. And I was about 200, 300 feet away, and my sister called me on the radio and said, the dog show's on, can you hear it? And I could hear nothing. So that was our experience the very last weekend. They were here for four weekends. They did four shows a day, and the show was about a half hour each show from start to finish. That's when they played the music.
Other than the dog show, you don't need speakers?
My sister does the pig race and goat race show. It's a farm show that we do, just showing training pigs to run around a circle. She's an MC set, and she uses that. So she has speakers for that. It's, again, to the point where you can barely hear it at the venue. That's the only thing that we have that's on a regular basis that has music or sound. There's special times that we offer have a band in. Maybe we had two weekends with three different bands in the different times. So they may play from 1 to 3 or something like that. And a couple of those different bands had loudspeakers. But again, we try to place everybody you got to be realistic about where you can have them. I mean, you can't be off the far end of the farm, but you need to have power, and it's directed in the way that we're trying as hard as we can to make sure it can't be here away from the farm.
I got one more. How far, whoever it was that posed this complaint, how far away from your facility are they?
Well,
you talked about being 200 feet away and you couldn't hear the speakers and that type of thing. So how far away is this?
Well, my land abuts everybody like directly across Highway 210, and from where the dog show is to Highway 210 would probably be about 300 feet, maybe about to just to Highway 210. If the dog show to the residence, I would maybe guess 700 to 1,000 feet. But the sound, we're in a valley area where sound does travel well, so it's not like it's impossible to hear. I mean, some quiet nights you can hear conversations from different parts of the farm. So it's sound will travel well in the area. We're just in the valley, and there's just trees all the way around, and this is kind of how it is.
Is it possible to? I have not been to your place. I apologize. Sounds like a fun place, and I will be there next year. Is it possible to move the dog show to some other location on your?
It is possible.
Out of the valley a little bit.
You have to keep in mind of being close to power, having access, but it's possible. The site we had was one of the better selections. If you're going to move anywhere else, it's really not that much different than where it is.
Wouldn't
now.
It be? Okay. Right. That's all still in the valley.
It's still going to be. You're still going to have the same issues. Unless they move all the way up by the train, and unfortunately we don't have electricity out there. So,
what about these new buildings? You're going to have electricity in them, right?
Yes.
So that might give you an additional opportunity.
Right, but those buildings are probably 2 to 3 years away.
Can I add something? I forgot to say the complaint that we received regarding the noise and the dog show centered around the fact that this person had cattle. And it was loud enough that it agitated them so that they didn't come to where they do their feeding, which was a primary reason for the complaint.
So it's not necessarily the distance from to the residence, it's neighboring properties
affecting
and livestock.
The livestock and their ability.
So the recommendation as we have it here is that the dog show is not included in the new conditional use permit. Is that a problem for you, or do you want to try to convince us that we should strike that?
I guess having a dog show, like Jerry pointed out, I mean, it's very popular. People enjoyed it. I definitely would like to have a show someday where I could have the option of doing dogs herding sheep, herding cattle. What the dog show we had, I really enjoyed it. I think they offered a good message. It's not... They use border collies, blue heelers.
Yeah.
They really pushed adopting dogs. All these dogs they adopted from shelters. They really were big on adopting dogs. I mean, even though customers coming here to a farm, this still has a tie to them. People still have pets. It's still a positive. It's a positive thing. I'd like to have it. That's why I threw it in the permit, because I'd still like to offer it.
This is a side note, but there is a group that does bring their dogs, and they do herd animals around. Are you aware of them?
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like, I'll find the name for you.
Okay.
Another thing to think about, too, is in the planning development's work plan, we have special events as something that we're supposed to be working on.
Yeah.
And that type of thing, the dog show, might be something that might be appropriate for us separate, like a conditional use permit application for just that activity.
Where is that in your list of priorities for next year?
We could bump it up, certainly. We have, there's 15 items.
No, you don't, you wouldn't do the dog show until what time frame?
We offered it last year. It was the first 4 weekends of October.
Okay. You got plenty of time, Jerry.
You have time.
Another question, sir.
Yes, Jerry's got it.
Steve, didn't you indicate that after the complaint about the noise, you did turn the volume down?
We did.
I think all residents of the county are under a sound code, are they not?
I don't think that the Story County has a noise ordinance. I'm not aware of it.
Okay. No, thank you, City Beings.
Okay. Well, it's too innovative.
I just can't imagine that.
Yeah.
Why he shouldn't have the dog show.
And have a loud enough to be able to hear.
You know.
That's my thought, is if you can't hear it, what is it? How's it that offensive if you can't hear
it? But it goes to the zoning. It goes to the zoning and it goes to the neighboring livestock, right? So you might not be able to hear it, but if it disturbs livestock, then it still disturbs livestock.
Right? Well, that's my point. Is I'm not saying if from a residence where you can't hear it. I'm saying from the joint closest part that it's going to disturb. And the pasture is directly across from my farm, across the highway. My point is if you can't hear it across my property line, that's my goal.
It's a use issue, too, and again, this has everything to do with Retail Novelty Farm. That's what this is all about, and
right.
Everything that's going on there with regard to this conditional use permit should relate to that Retail Novelty Farm, or it shouldn't be occurring.
I agree with that.
I think if
we unconditionally allow the dog show, well, is it going to be a trapeze act with people dressed like scarecrows?
Let's save discussion until we've heard from the public as well, please.
Right.
So
I have a couple more questions.
Yeah.
What is the current traffic average and peak traffic on the 610?
Our season is open from. We open somewhere in the middle of August, depending on our peaches and apples are ready, and we go through Christmas. October is by far our busiest month. The first weekend of October is when we ramp up to being what I consider starting to be busy. The Columbus Day weekend is by far our peak. So if this is Columbus Day weekend, the weekend before it's this level, the weekend after it kind of tapers down slowly like this. So our peak weekend is Columbus Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Saturday being the biggest, Sunday being pretty much the same.
Numbers?
Traffic of cars?
Yeah, what's the volume?
I don't count cars. We have a parking lot. We could probably hold about 1,600 cars at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I have 32 parking spaces, which is 2%, which is ADA code. You hold 2% of your parking lot.
Do you charge admission?
How? People flow. On our weekend before, most of our weekends were probably between 5,000 and 7,000, and our peak weekend maybe 8,500.
So you don't know how many cars that is approximately?
I have no idea. I don't count cars.
Is your parking lot full?
Is my parking lot full? The fullest we get is about 1,600 cars, which was what we had about last year. I did not count cars this year. I have about...
I'm just wondering, there's been a lot of discussion about dust control. And you're not counting cars, but... I would assume that you're expecting, and it's been stated, expecting a fairly significant increase in traffic with the train and the other attractions.
I'm not. I'm not expecting a significant increase. I think we're at a pretty level where to have, I don't know what we consider a significant increase, but to have a substantial amount of more people than we have, I don't think that's realistic in the next few years. The train isn't going to draw more people in, or it's going to be like this, all of a sudden a huge surge above and beyond what we are right now. As far as counting cars, though, we have no reason to count cars because we don't have any reason to. The only reason I need to count cars is know how many handicapped spots they have.
Well, you're counting parking spots. I'm talking about car flow. I'm talking about traffic. I'm talking about the wear on the road and what county maintenance is for maintaining the road to the business and what it will be after the expansion.
Other questions for that?
I guess I got one more point. It's the issue of the parking issue, while we're on that. In 2013, we had a parking system we didn't have as many spots up front. We had to shuttle people back and forth from the further lot, and we were parking cars through one entrance. And it was one day I was in the farmyard, and I looked up on a busy day, and I could see cars all the way down 610th on Highway 210 and then back down. And it's almost to a very slow crawl. And I looked up, and my adjoining neighbors across the road were looking to get out of their driveway. And they were literally could not get out because of the car traffic going past. So that year I started focusing on how we can change our flow to make sure stuff like that doesn't happen, that we don't have cars backed up the road and on the Highway 210. It just did not seem like a good idea. So that's when I came up with that map that Jerry showed a little bit ago. And we can get cars in, and we have a circular flow. We station staff at specific spots to make sure traffic's moving, that they don't exit through an entrance point. And now instead of parking two cars at a time, we can park 40, 50 cars at a time, and then we can run them in several spots to keep people from stopping on the road on Highway 610 so that it's not causing problems and backing up. So 2014 is the first year we ran it. We ran it two seasons now where our parking lot has been to change the flow, and I haven't seen cars stopped for a long period of time all the way up to 610 and on Highway 210. We're going to stand still. Yes, there's cars coming. There's cars always on the road, but nobody is just stopped. There's no stop traffic where there's just an issue. So
that addresses the cars coming in, and I can see how you can manage that. Do people leave at different times, so there isn't a problem as they're exiting also? Or?
On the one or two busy days we have, so keep in mind we're only busy on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. So this year there'd be four weekends that were considered to be somewhat busy, three of them being really busy. On those really busy days, you're going to have around noon to 2 o'clock, you're going to have this turning over of the parking lot. People are leaving and people are still coming. So in that time frame, you have a large amount of people coming and going at the same time. The flow on the way out of the parking lot is very circular. We let them come in one way this way, and they're coming out this way so that they're not having to stop and wait for traffic to pass. So it's very circular motion to get people flowing in and out. And the other parking lot goes the same way. So there's a lot of flow to it, but there's no avoiding that 2 or 3 days when everybody's coming and leaving at the same time. There's just a lot of people coming and going. But I haven't seen the last 2 years seasons where there's just a horrible conglomeration of cars on the way out and coming at the same time. I did bring a video. I told Jerry about it. On October 3rd, we flew a drone, and it pulls up my property. It flies around. You can see the parking lot flow. You can see the cars, and you can see the traffic on the road. I found out about it just a couple days ago. We brought it. If you guys want to see it, I can show it to you, and you're welcome to look at it.
See the parking flow circulation.
Okay. So the parking lot, this is 610th right here. This is the cemetery right here. This is our overflow lot. Most cars, when it's really busy, we don't let people in this driveway. We bring them up this driveway. They come all the way down, they enter. They can come down here. They can pick any one of these rows down. If it gets too backed up, we run cars up in this lot. We park cars here. And they run around, we park cars here. These cars all leave this way. These cars all leave out this driveway. So the other cars are coming and turning this way. These cars are coming and turning this way. So it's this very circular flow. So we have extra parking here, here. This is all full, we block everything off. Cars come all the way up to here. They enter in. I put a culvert in. They cross. We get them all the way up here. This is also where we mark our staff park, too, so that we have more parking in this area here on those busy days. All the staff will park up in this lot. So on the tour, we probably use this parking lot maybe 4 days this year. We've had cars from this line here and all this area here. They come up this spot here. They get on a shuttle. We shuttle them all the way down to this point. Shuttle goes back. The car people from this parking lot walk down this walking path. It's got fences on both sides, a designated walking area all the way here. It's kind of cut off, but the main entrance is all right here, and this is a walking path for people to walk all the way to here. So the cars are going, and there's people walking pedestrian walkways through here.
Final questions for that? Okay. We will open the public hearing at 5:09, and if you would like to speak in any regard for or against the proposal or just to offer any comments, please feel free to step up to the podium. Please state your name and address when you get there. Any comments from the public?
My name is Kenneth Larkin. I live at 60996 State Highway 210. And I'm the big bad objector. I've lived there for 72 years. My house was built in 1856. It was a stagecoach stop. I've watched this orchard grow from an orchard to an amusement park. That's all it is. The traffic is horrendous. I would invite this whole panel to come down there on a weekend and just see what we put up with down there. We can't farm on the weekends because we can't get up and down the roads with our equipment. We have farms in all different directions. This orchard, so-called, it grew from a little thing which was quite pleasant into this conglomeration. I've been told by people at work over there they have upwards to 9,000 people a day on the weekends. I have no idea because I've never set foot on the place since it opened. I think that it's a old adage, you close the barn door after the horse is a half mile down the road. It is a pain. My daughter-in-law, who lives right across the road from me, sat in her driveway for 30 minutes before a Story County sheriff that was sitting in my driveway taking radar backed around and went over, stopped all the traffic, and let her out. That's what we put up with down there. It's not pleasant. As far as that dog show, you could put it clear up north of the cemetery and you could still hear it with the loudspeaker system. I don't see where you people are. If you've never been down there, well, you should go down there. You really should. To see what a conglomeration it is. And, you know, it's pathetic is what I would put it. We can't go out in our yard. We can't get out of our driveways on the weekend. You can't. You know, the only way you can get out on 210 is you go down the gravel road, clear up a mile east, and come down the highway and get in the flow of traffic. That's the only way you're going to get there. Now, it's kind of monotonous to put up with that after you've lived there for all as long as I have. As far as their septic, so-called septic system, I've taken human waste and toilet paper out of my creek crossing down at my West Farm. Now, that's going to stop because I'm going to have the EPA or the DNR up here. I'm not going to put up with that anymore. I can tell you every day, the first day they open, the level of water in that creek crossing will rise 4 inches. And it'll stay there all the time. Now, he says they're pumping it. I don't know why the water level in the creek crossing is raising. I have no idea, but we'll probably find out. If he wants a place to get rid of the traffic, a few years ago when they put the new bridge in on Highway 210 over the river, they made a driveway down there west, about close to a mile west of the corner, and that's where they took the bar dirt off for the raise the elevation of each end of the bridge. They left the driveway. All you got to do is use that driveway, make a road up. People can drive down the railroad right away. They can have a historic little tour. But, you know, using 610th, I don't think the taxpayers of Story County should pay for keeping that road up for his benefit. I don't know what you folks think, but that's the way we feel down there. And there's a culvert under that road from a creek that comes from the east that is fed by my son's lake, and that culvert is going to have to be replaced because you can see holes down through the road there. Now, but that's up to the county engineer as far as that goes. He knows about it. It's a whole thing that I talked to a Story County sheriff one day doing traffic radar down there. And he said, I could have the whole Story County Sheriff's Department down here, and we still couldn't write enough tickets. He said, it's pathetic. And the people that come out there think that the red octagon sign on the corner is a seed corn sign. They have no idea it's a stop sign because they don't obey it. They just go around. And someday, Story County, and I will guarantee this, they're going to pick up a whole carload of kids because I've seen a semi-load of a pot with loaded cattle, and he darn near run over a little black car with three kids and a woman in it because she did not stop for the stop sign. Now, they have no control over people stopping, but they need to make it known that they're supposed to stop at the stop signs. That's just the whole thing. And, you know, it's a detriment, it's a fiasco, and it'd been better off for our community if they'd never showed up. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Where is it that they're not stopping? Is it from 610?
610 to 210.
Going south on 610. To 210. Okay.
Not stopping at the corner on 210 and 610.
All right.
I'm Donna Kalman. I live at 61384 Highway 210.
I'm sorry, I gave you last name.
Kalman. So when you see that map, and you go south on 610th, 210, and you go back about half mile, and then I've got about a quarter mile driveway. I heard that dog show this summer. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't feel like I should have to stay in the house with my windows closed. I know I have as much right to go out and park something in my corner and blast noise at them, but I wouldn't do that to my neighbors. As to traffic, I know during the month of October to go east. If I want to head to Ames, I come over to S-14 and come up. Because, yeah, people, they'll hesitate at that stop sign and pull out in front of you. So, yeah, if I am going west to head into Cambridge, I always slow down at that corner. But, I mean, that's not their fault. I mean, you know, that's just the people driving. But, yeah, I heard that innocent little dog show this summer. So, noise carries quite a ways.
Did you catch where she lives? How far is it? How far? From 610 on 210.
And then you go back east a half mile. And then you go quarter mile south.
Half a mile and then quarter of a mile south. Okay.
So, I mean, as a plural... I'm nervous. As the crow flies, it might be, I don't know if it'd be a mile or what.
Okay.
But it was, you know. I have enjoyed in the past, when they first got started, you'd hear the kids playing and the dinner bell ringing, and you'd think, oh, there's a group over there at the orchard. Those kids are out there having fun. And I did enjoy that. I mean, it just, it's all good. They're out there having fun. It just, but... The PA speaker was too much.
Was the dog show just the only problem?
Well, I don't know what it was. It was just, I could hear the PA. I could not hear it well enough to understand it. If you could hear the words, it would be better. But when you just hear the noise, it's an irritant. Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any other public comment?
Excuse me. My name is Noah Wendt. My address is 16110 Northeast 68th Street, Cambridge. I, too, farm in the area, just like Mr. Larkin, in all directions of the intersection of 610th and 210. I will agree with Steve that prior to 2013, the traffic was a problem and trouble. The improvements that they made have helped greatly. We have had very minimal issues at that intersection. I had the opportunity to go east also and come back to that intersection from the west. I never do that because I never have to do that. As far as the dust control and the parking, I think it's phenomenal. We travel up and down 610th several times a day, whether it's with semis, tractors, any other equipment, and we have no problems. The dog show, we have ground within an eighth of a mile that we farm. I didn't hear anything this fall. I commend them for the progress that they made, the diligence that they've done in trying to be kind to the neighbors, and I would hope that you reward them with that.
Would you describe where you were?
What's that?
Tell them who you farm for.
I tell you what, we're going to keep his opportunity to speak right now. You've had your opportunity to speak. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
I farm for myself.
Okay, but where do you live?
Where do I live?
Yeah.
I live south on 610th.
Okay.
And then you go half a mile south of 210, and the road curves east. You go east another half a mile, and then I'm south a mile.
Okay, so by the as the crow flies, you're about what?
A mile and a half probably from the orchard. But likewise, have ground up and down Highway 210, all in the area there, and we're up and down that road all the time. And I also border that creek quite a bit. There's no trash or toilet paper in it. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? All right. Seeing no other comment, we are going to close the public hearing at 5:23. And we will have commission deliberation. Commission, what are your thoughts? Any other questions for staff? I have one. The cemetery is owned by the township, owned and maintained by the township?
It's a private cemetery.
Okay. Do we know how active it is, if there's space in the cemetery still?
Actually, Kenneth has a lot of information about the cemetery. He's a secretary treasurer of the cemetery.
Okay. Ken, do you know how much space is left in the cemetery and how active it is as far as people visiting and that sort of thing?
Well, it's pretty active. We don't know exactly how many lots are left at the Perpetual Care Cemetery. And you either have to be born there or growing up in that community before you can be buried there. That's the restriction. Lots to people who qualify for that are free. Okay. No charge. We keep it closed very well. And, it's disturbing when there is trash there. I've picked up trash before. And, It's getting fairly full right now, but it's not quite there yet. So.
Okay, thank you. One of my concerns, though, we didn't discuss much in the staff report, but that cemetery is completely surrounded by this operation in the parking. I need to be one of them quiet visit at the cemetery on weekends when this is happening. And so, our conditional use standards talk about compatibility and transition and screening and that sort of thing. I think that's a potential issue as well as some of the others we've already identified. Any other thoughts, or is anyone prepared to make a motion? We'll just cover this right now. We are making a recommendation to the Board of Adjustment.
Correct.
Okay, so we are just recommending body in this particular instance. You can choose to move
for the staff's recommendation with their set of conditions, or you can modify the conditions however you like, or you can recommend a denial, any of the options presented in the staff report.
How strongly do you feel about the cemetery issue?
My feeling is one of several issues related to this. I mean, it's one more additional obstacle, I think, for this proposal.
Okay, what other obstacles?
You
can talk even though you're the president.
In my opinion, greatly exceeds the intent of the definition of retail novelty farm.
Okay.
To me, any of the activities on a retail novelty farm that are not agriculture should be solely incidental to an agricultural operation, or add value to an agricultural operation. To me, this is a theme park with agricultural activities that are incidental to the theme park. But we're not here to decide everything that's going on there. We're just here to decide the modification to the permit. And I don't see how intensifying the use improves the situation there, improves compatibility with the A1 district, or brings it more into compliance with the retail and novelty farm definition.
Is the dog park the only thing that...
Aaron has his concerns. I have concerns about, you know, you're expanding into additional food service. You know, what are the definitions and what are the restrictions on, you know, is that going to be a restaurant? There's also, you know, bands that come out and provide entertainment.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the bands.
All of the concerns and the discussion that we've heard about the traffic is with not really knowing what that traffic flow is, or if there are additional control elements that need to be considered, and we're talking about adding to that, right? It's not going to get the traffic, and those concerns are not going to be lessened by any expansion.
If you put the numbers in context, or just give an analog to the numbers that they talked to us about, 7,000 people on a weekend, let's just say it's evenly split between Saturday and Sunday, 3,500 people, that's 25% to 30% of the capacity of Hilton Coliseum during a basketball game. So if you think about the traffic controls and the management that is in place to handle that kind of event, and here we're on a stub of a gravel road off of a county highway. So to me, traffic alone is enough of a reason not to expand the conditional use permit.
And not expanding would, you know, also include not allowing the additional building? Is that what you're saying?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, but the application is for the modification would include two new buildings and the railroad,
right,
the train.
Right, and expansion of the parking areas. And keep in mind, some of these things have already occurred.
Yes.
And they've been going on for a while.
The train is 4,000 feet of track.
Linear feet.
Okay.
Now, I commend them on the additional parking. You know, that aspect. And the circular, getting them in and getting them out. You know, but still, it's a whole lot of traffic. I had not thought of the context with Hilton. When you put it in that context, that's a whole lot of folk.
Aaron, I'm going to make a motion to approve the conditional use permit as put forth by staff.
And that is
number one, or
number one. Yes,
that's putting the staff's recommendation into place as the commission's recommendation.
Correct.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Let's see those conditions again.
Number one, this is without. Number two is with staff recommendations.
Right.
Yeah,
number two is the one with the conditions.
With our conditions.
Is number two.
Is that what you intended?
Number one is carte blanche.
I'll go back to that.
I noticed that too when I was reading through it this afternoon.
I withdraw that motion. Okay. I will make a motion to accept number two.
Okay. And that was the staff's
recommendations.
It has the conditions on it.
So we have a motion by Cable to adopt the staff's recommendation, including their conditions, the staff's conditions. Is there a second?
I'm not quite ready to start, am I?
Well, I'll tell you, you can second the motion, and we can discuss the motion once it has a second.
All right, I'll second.
Okay. Is there a discussion about the motion?
Are we able to challenge the conditions, make them more specific, or delete some of them, I mean, just change some of the? Can we do that at this point?
The commission can certainly form its own recommendation with its own conditions. Right now, we have a motion in front of us to adopt it according to the staff's conditions, the staff's recommendation.
But we don't have to vote on that right now.
We do have to pass on the motion.
Oh, okay.
And if you wanted to make some more specific, then we would, then what?
We say nay to the vote and then do the conditions. As we want.
Then you'd have to propose a motion with
number two with conditions.
Well, you would just say
revise, formulate your own
proposed acceptance of the conditional use permit with these, and then you would itemize your conditions.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on the motion? We do need to deal with this one first. And the motion in front of us is to adopt. Is to recommend according to the staff's recommendation and conditions. So that's what we'll be voting on. If you'd like to form your own conditions, then we need to deal with that if this one fails. Okay, a roll call vote.
Wendt?
No.
Smith?
No.
Couser?
No.
Miller?
No.
Donaldson?
No.
Steele?
No.
Cable?
Yes.
Okay, that motion has been carried. Then we'd like to make a different motion.
What is that, man?
I think we need to discuss the changes that we would like to see made to the recommendations. I get the feeling that many of us feel that we could go with number two if we had some more information included in the recommendation. I'm not sure if I'm ready to formulate that yet.
No, I'm not. Okay. Let me just bring up some things one at a time. What about the additional buildings?
I think time to gather everyone's opinions about every detail of the motion would be when enacting on the motion. So if you have...
I'm not following you.
Okay, so
I don't,
we could make a motion...
You need another motion?
That we go ahead recommending approval with conditions which we haven't yet created.
No. What I'm saying is I think it would be inappropriate for us to go around the table and do an, in effect, vote on every potential condition before acting on a motion.
Okay.
So if you'd like to discuss what some potential conditions might be, then feel free. I think that maybe, at the very least, if we approve this, modification to the CUP, it needs to include a condition that a thorough inventory of what's being done on the site. Right now, that is done, and that would include all structures, portable, temporary, or under the square footage limit, or not for a zoning permit. We're talking about conditional use permit, so we can apply conditions that
to structures that would not require a zoning permit.
And the other option that we have, and one of the other options available to us, is we can also remand the conditional use permit back to the applicant for additional information. So we could say conditional use permit denied, remanded back to the applicant looking for
XYZ.
And more information about waste handling, existing buildings, and the zoning. Some additional information about traffic, right? Right now we're just operating on there's a full parking lot and there's lots of traffic issues, but we don't have any idea of what those numbers are or any kind of traffic mitigation plans. Or whatever other concerns
can
that
I
there
ask
are.
Any question?
Read this. I am finished. Excuse me for a second. Jerry?
Can we table this tonight and ask to meet with staff at some point, or at least communicate with staff about other things we'd like to see put into this?
Any meeting of more than one of us with the staff member would have to be held in a public hearing. And certainly if we were going to table this or remand it back to staff and the applicant, we want to give very specific direction about what we are expecting to come back when it's heard again. About what
we'd like staff to investigate or come up with.
Right.
I can ask Steve Jerry a question?
Sure.
Regarding zoning, is this the right, is A1 the correct zoning for this enterprise?
It is the correct zoning. But again, it's the reason why he's able to operate is because of the retail novelty farm, and he's doing that through the conditional use permit that was submitted in 2008.
Okay, was there that novelty farm option prior to 2008?
I think.
You know what I'm trying to ask?
When they started operating, but
it was not existent, but it was put into place in
early 2000s.
So it was in existence prior than 2008.
Yes, they were operating prior to them.
I don't. Not the operations. Not the operation. I'm talking about the part of our code that has to do with the agriculture and the
retail novelty farm.
Yeah, was that on our books prior to 2008?
I believe 2006 is when it was
2006.
Okay. The development regulations.
I think it's important to note that the A1 district is the appropriate place to consider a conditional use permit for a retail and novelty farm.
Okay.
But a retail and novelty farm is not a specifically permitted use in the A1 district. That's why it's a conditional use permit. It has to be considered in this way.
All right. Okay, so what do we need to do? Make a list of things to possibly remand it back?
Okay, so I'll make a motion to. Okay, before I make the motion, I have a question about the options that we have. We can, if we would tabling the decision, would that be the appropriate course if we were seeking additional information and additional detail on CDP or wanted revisions to it?
Yes, if we are able to be specific about what we want, I think that is an appropriate action.
Okay. It's an interesting dance. So how do we...
So would that be...
So what are our, what are our specific concerns then? I have...
Said before.
I have, that I know of, two, possibly three specific concerns. One is
the kind of unknown details about existing buildings and future buildings. You know, what those plans are, size, structure. It might be a two-story, it might be a three-story, it might be, you know, could be a 15,000 square foot retail barn. So I have concerns, right? That's a concern, because it's essentially an open-ended approval of, you have an approval to expand and go build two more buildings without knowing what they are, essentially, and we have an idea, but what we're approving is sight unseen, right? So current buildings is one concern, just needing more detail about what's there, how they're zoned or approved, how they're used, right? So current building detail.
And future.
And then another concern is future building. Future/proposed. Building detail. Third one is traffic. I don't know if I want to call it a traffic study, but certainly more information about data around, you know, how many cars are we talking, and, you know, if the sheriff has concerns and issues, then certainly we could reach out to the sheriff's department, and staff could reach out to the sheriff's department and get their input.
Well,
specifically,
yeah, there's been some communication prior to me coming here with the sheriff's department, with the state troopers, and there's been some involvement, you know, with their oversight, overview of it. But I don't know how to say this other than nothing really came of it.
Yeah, I did.
You know, they went to the site, they observed. Again, nothing really came from involvement.
Who do we have? Would the county engineer be the appropriate one to look at the situation and potentially make recommendations for alternatives for entrance even into the... Would the county engineer be the appropriate one for that?
Yeah, and they were involved in the review of this conditional use permit submittal, and the information that we got back from them was that they thought that it was appropriate to put in the conditions to make that a requirement that they do two dust control treatments.
Yeah, but what if you expanded the request from the county engineer to take a look at alternatives for entrance and egress to the property? What if we made it more specific to Darren?
You could certainly do that. I mean, that's part of their purview. Those are things that they should be looking at.
Maybe he just didn't think about it.
You know, the conditions of the road, the number of, you know, the traffic volume.
Who would that query go to?
Darren Lewin.
Which is which department?
He's county engineer.
County engineer.
So I have your list of things you'd like to know. You would like to ask the question again of the county engineer, gather more information from the sheriff's department, and state patrol.
Right.
Just to be devil's advocate, I mean, their busy season is over. How do you expect them to do some kind of traffic examination now? I mean, you're looking at a whole other year, and who's going to do that? Who's going to pay for that? And exactly how do you, I mean, what does that look like?
That's why I'm asking this.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
How about this drone pic movie that they took? When was that done?
It was taken October 3rd at 12 at noon.
That might give a better picture of it.
It was a day when we had about 65-70% capacity. It was at noon, so it wasn't a busy time where there's a transition while people were there. You can see clearly the cars on the road, you can see parking.
See, that's an opportunity to use that.
You have to
put
the engineer to look at that.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not the expert.
You should look at the numbers and extrapolate. The engineer should be able to extract a lot of data from looking at the numbers.
Agreed.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It would not be unreasonable to ask somebody proposing scale operations being proposed here to do a traffic study. But given the seasonal nature, it's impossible to do a real traffic study unless we were to postpone consideration on this whole thing until after another season.
I don't want to do that, but I want to make sure that we're doing due diligence and I'm not feeling like we have the information available to, and the input from, I know that Jerry reached out to the other departments and maybe didn't get the feedback, but I think that without the feedback of some of the other departments, that it's hard to make an informed decision.
Yeah, I think we want to make them aware that we feel like some of this needs reconsideration and a harder look.
Do you have a motion, Marvin, based on
the
things you put together?
Does anybody else have anything else? What about the dog track? Dog patrol? Sure.
Well, I guess I don't have additions, but it's fine to know about the buildings and gather more information on those. I think it comes down to the traffic. Because fewer or less buildings, it doesn't really matter so much. It's the traffic that's causing the nuisance, that's impinging on the neighbors. So I'm fully supportive of finding out more and see what kind of options there might be.
It's not part of it until after they review it after the first of the year. To be able to include the dog park, right?
Well, and that could be one of the conditions that we put on it also, is I think that there are general concerns about having not, so going back to the definition of the novelty retail farm, whatever the exact terminology is. I think going back to that, we've had other similar types of applications for conditional use permits. And there are concerns about having non-directly agriculture-related entertainment. And I think that's where we start to hear the comments about amusement parks, or once we start leaving the kind of the intended use, right? So you have an orchard, and people can come out and get pumpkins and pick apples and buy products made with the pumpkins and the apples, or a corn maze or things like that. Even historically, with the train coming through, I can even make the connection that I don't know if that fits the conditional use permit, though. I can see the historical value in it, and I can see the direct relationship between putting a third scale train on a property where there was a historic train track, right? I get it. I don't know if putting that on the property, though, fits within the conditional use permit for a retail novelty farm, right? I can see it. I can see the relationship. I can see the historical value in it. But is that an agricultural use, and is that related to an orchard?
I suppose if we were loading grain into the train, that would be an agricultural use, but we're not doing that.
Well, I mean, that's not the purpose, right?
So I guess what I'm trying to figure out, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, the traffic is an issue to the neighbors, and the noise is an issue to the neighbors. If the buildings and the trains increase the amount of traffic and the amount of noise, and that increases the nuisance value. The dog show, it was an entertainment with the Frisbees, but if you include livestock herding, then it becomes
kind of agricultural again.
I think the issue, though, goes back to the noise, right? Whether it's noise that's heard by neighbors or whether it's noise that's disturbing other livestock, which is, you know, in the A1 zoning district. So I, what condition do we put on it that would allow, if you had herding animals or, you know, more directly agriculture-related activity with dogs, how do you do that without causing a nuisance?
Let's send it back to Jerry here and ask, this new thing that you were going to work on in 2016, what was that including? Can you refresh us?
For special events, things that would be outside their normal activity, or maybe something that occurs inside of a building, or maybe it's a business and they want to have a carnival for a fundraiser or something like that. It wouldn't be something that would be permitted in that zoning district, but it might be something that would be permitted as a special event through a conditional use permit. So the Frisbee dog show activity, that's something that might fit into that type of category.
But you were just talking about a one-time event. A carnival for a fundraiser is a one-time event.
Right.
You don't have that four consecutive weekends. That's not a special event.
Well, a lot of times it is a special event for a business or whatever the activity is or the operation is. Or it could be a situation where it's something that happens every year, and that in the conditional use permit, it could be addressed that way. It depends on the circumstances, really.
Well, of course, when you formulate this addendum to our codes, then we'll have to discuss and see if we agree with you.
Correct. It would be something that would come to the Planning and Zoning Commission and then go to the Board of Supervisors.
I have a question. I'm considering, first of all, I thought that we would accept the staff recommendations and we're going to add something to them. That's my take. And I think the staff recommendations take care of the dog shows. They say they are not part of this conditional use permit. That does it for me. They could come back with a new request for some specific kind of a thing. We wouldn't have, you know. I accept completely what these recommendations say. I just think we need some additional recommendations based on the information we've been talking about.
Okay.
To further.
Okay. Additional to the number two.
Additional to what's listed here, staff recommendations. It's on page 8.
Right. Which would be the alternative number two.
To page 9. So I would accept all of those staff recommendations.
Plus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm on board with that. What do you think, Nancy?
What? Nancy, I thought you were a little worried that they were kind of vague.
Yeah, I'd clarify number one just to make sure it's specific from 210 down to the last driveway.
Yes.
I think number five, what does that mean?
Sure.
Is that even worth saying? It doesn't mean anything.
Can you put the conditions back up there and make them a little larger?
I don't know that I can make them larger, but they are on the screen. Ryan, would you mind hitting the light, maybe, if that helps? Can I read through them again? Would that help?
Yeah, go ahead.
The applicant shall have a minimum 2 dust control applications applied on 610th Avenue during the peak operating periods. Additional dust control applications may be requested to the Story County Engineering Department.
Okay, stop. Now, what were you saying, Nancy?
Just to clarify that it means start dust control at 210 and apply it all the way through the second driveway, the last driveway, which they're already doing, but you just make it clear.
Okay. All right.
Then there was also the note that I think Steve said that they had a hard time getting approval.
In the fall, when they needed
that. Yeah. So if we're going to require them to do something that the county, another person in the county won't.
I had a discussion with Darren about this, and he is receptive to, you know, the timing of it and additional applications if it's needed.
Okay, so if we add the the little clarification there, it just makes it better so that we know that it's not going to be the application from 210 to the first parking lot.
Yeah. So from the intersection to the furthest north
yes.
access?
Yes.
Additional information?
We could make the motion to say we're going to table it pending additional clarification to staff recommendations, right? So, and then add additional.
Because we do have to get more information from Darren.
Right.
I mean, do you all agree with that? Do you agree with that, Darren?
I'm content with the information we have.
Oh, are you? Let me tell you why I was concerned. He said he was content with the information we have. Okay, and let me tell you why I was concerned about having Darren look at this again with the specific thought in mind in terms of in connection with the traffic based upon the information that I didn't have before. The bridge on 210 that was completed and that there's already a driveway into this facility that perhaps altering the drive or having two ways to get into the park may reduce the traffic flow. Darren would have more engineering knowledge of that kind of thing.
All right. So I have a motion
for them, too.
Huh?
Yeah, that would be something under his purview, certainly, the engineering division, but it's something that would have to... You know, I think you'd want to run it by the applicants too.
That's fine.
Sure.
Darren can do that.
So, Marvin, you're prepared with
a I'm prepared for a motion. I'm making a list, and we have the list of the staff conditions and recommendations, and I have a list of five or six other items with additional information for current buildings and future, more detail for future buildings, much more information needed on. Sheriff's input on the traffic, plus county engineering on possible other routes or their input on traffic. Also concerns about the wastewater or the watershed in the creek, whether or not there is or isn't, it would be a good idea to look at. And I think as we go down this and need more information, there's also the concern about is the railroad, should that be put into the same conditional use permit with the retail novelty farm, right? It's not
part of it.
It's part of the overall operation, but does that conditional use fit in an A1 retail novelty conditional use permit? So my recommendation is to reject the conditional use permit.
Reject or table?
My motion is to reject the conditional use permit as proposed I don't know that that is the number.
Number four
is in hand.
Number three recommends denial of the conditional use permit.
Remanding would leave the application open and allow the applicant to come
That's
back,
number
back
four.
To us with filings.
Okay. So then my motion is to is alternative four as listed by the staff to remand the conditional use permit as put forth in CUP 03-08.1 back to the applicant for additional information and modifications as has been discussed today.
Within the motion, do we have to list it?
No. He moved to remand it, and the staff and the applicant can take from our discussion what they would, under advisement, what information we would like.
Okay, so,
is the motion clear to everyone? Is there a second to the motion?
I second.
Discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Cable.
Cable.
Aye. Donaldson.
Yes. Yes.
Calder.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Steele.
No.
Wendt.
Yes.
Miller.
Yes.
The motion passes. We will rely on staff to reschedule. You got that information rescheduled for us, and it'll be heard when we can next get that information gathered and get the public notices posted and all that sort of thing. You will all be informed. Thank you. Let's break for a short recess, 5-minute recess.